What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. I feel like it's got to be like one of the most Mondayest Tuesdays that I can remember.
It's got that feeling, doesn't it?
It's got that feeling, but also Tuesday is the worst day of the week anyway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, it is.
Mondays sometimes have some solace to them.
You maybe had like a good Sunday, just a day off, not doing too much.
And then like, or even ready, the three-day weekend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the Sunday of the three-day weekend.
Yep.
Nothing good about Tuesdays.
No, that's absolutely. I've been on that fight for years. I don't always bring it up. Tuesdays, easily, of the 7 days, the worst day of the week. Easily. Especially because could you imagine having a Tuesday off? Who cares?
You're just back to work on Wednesday.
You're back to work on Wednesday and you still got three more days. Brutal.
Yes. So even today, though, Mondayest Tuesday that there's been in a while. And we're just getting started, baby, because Gabe Davis
is going to be visiting with the Bills after his visit with the Steelers today. He will then be visiting with the Bills tomorrow. We'll see if that means anything. He may not even sign with them. I also don't think even if he does, it'll be for a meaningful role.
I guess,
quote unquote.
It's fine if it happens. And there's plenty to talk about with this.
So 803-0550, the number to call you want to jump on. We will also get a word in with Sal Capaccio as the Bills got back to practice, or they are going to, get back to practice today. McDermott speaking at noon. We'll hopefully get a word in on some of the guys like Jordan Hancock, who left Sunday's game with a shoulder injury. We'll see how he's at. Also, of course, did want to mention some stuff on the defense as well. I threw it up on Twitter, you know, as we go into this final preseason game. How are we feeling on the defense as a whole? I know there was a lot of people very stressed out after a 38-0 loss to Chicago. Look, did I like the game? No. Am I all that worried? No. And to a certain extent, that even kind of contributes to Cole Bishop. Like, for me, with him, it's less of a worry that he's bad. It's more of a worry of I simply still don't know what he is. He played with all backups and only started practicing like 2 or 3 days prior to that, so I don't know.
By the way, we've got official roster moves from the Buffalo Bills this morning, just a couple minutes ago, announcing officially they've signed Jarvion Howard, running back, and wide receiver Grant DuBose. They've placed running back Darrington Evans on injured reserve and waived cornerback to Corey Couch and seventh-round draft pick Caden Prather.
That was tough. Prather played on Sunday, did he not?
Correct.
Yeah, but he was dealing with injuries earlier. He's a seventh-round pick. That's tough. But also, when you are a good team,
your seventh rounders are oftentimes going to have a harder time making the roster.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Again, Sal Capaccio will be joining the show in just about a half hour. Real quick, though, before we get to your calls here, do want to give also some thoughts on potentially Gabe Davis coming back. I think for me, where I'm at with Davis is, look, he was a great value pick for the Bills as a fourth rounder out of UCF. They got good years out of him. The problem started to develop when they saw him as a clear-cut number two receiver next to Stephon Diggs. That never really materialized. He was not a volume target guy either. The 1 year he had the volume targets in 22 with 93, he only had 48 catches. Was never a 1,000-yard guy. That's fine. It's not really what they were asking him to be, but it started to get worse. His last season with the Bills was not good. There were many times where him and Allen did not look like they were on the same page. There were many games where he was just a complete, utter non-factor.
There were donuts.
There were donuts. And for me, at least personally, I would much rather put trust into a young guy like Tyrell Shavers. I'm saying young guy. I think him and Gabe are around the same age. But Tyrell Shavers, who not once this offseason has made me think he can't get the job done. Now, I will ultimately say, though, I think Davis, if he is to sign with the Bills, is a practice squad guy. He is somebody that if Shavers or Coleman got hurt, you bring him up, and then either Shavers takes up Coleman's spot or Gabe would take up Shaver's spot with Coleman still playing. I think that's ultimately what it would be for. There are some positives to Gabe's game. Great blocker, the whole thing. He's a very good downfield threat. But also the Bills' offense has somewhat gone away from it. So I it's not a move that's going to move me.
And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't for anybody at this point. Like, that's really kind of the basis of what we're going to say about this, and I'm sure that plenty of people will have things to say about this. For me, I mean, if you're going to add someone to stash on the practice squad, you could do worse.
That is right. That is absolutely right. You could do, I mean, far worse. And he's somebody that knows Allen. He knows the system. It's not a completely new spot for him.
But also, if he is as injury-riddled as he's been and he hasn't been able to get a spot on a roster because of his injuries, it might be worse.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. And let's right away get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with Louie on the line. Louie, how are we doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Doing well.
Good to hear. So I kind of want to talk about the whole Gabe Davis situation. I mean, I get that he's comfortable with Buffalo. He's played here. He's had, obviously, his best years with Josh Allen and a portion of his best years with Joe Brady. But what would that look like for the rest of our offense? We already have a bunch of receivers like Laviska Shenault and Tyrell Shavers. And Tyrell Shavers himself has looked quite nice in camp and in preseason thus far. So what would that entirely do to him if we did sign Gabe Davis, along with what would that contract look like? Would it be like a player-friendly? So we kind of hope that he can get back to his old form, kind of like what we gave Tre'Davious White. Or is it just going to be, we're just going to give him 1 year, $4 million, and put him on the practice squad? What does that look like?
It's more toward the latter, Louie. Thanks for the call. And I think it's, I wouldn't even say that it would even be $4 million. I think you're probably looking at vet minimum for him right now.
Yeah, right around $1 million.
His value is as low as it can get right now in terms of contractual value.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think of that as exactly how you ended the call, a practice squad guy. He would become insurance for Shavers as insurance for Coleman on the outside, an X. He would need to be an X receiver. And that's exactly where you'd want him there. Strictly, solely third on that list, in case there are injuries to both Coleman and Shavers. Well, first of all, if that's happening, we've just got a hell of a season ahead of us.
Right.
But second thing is that he at least is coming in day one ready to go, if he's healthy. And by the looks of it, I don't think that's the case.
That's sort of where I'm at, too, because there was a report. Let me get the reporter's name here real quick. But the reason why he's having another meeting with Jerry Dulac, and he is with the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he reported that he's having a medical follow-up with the Steelers today. That's why he's going back. Steelers had medical concerns when Davis visited the previous time. And that's kind of something that is hamstrings his whole career, is when he's picked up injuries, it has very much tanked his seasons. And if he's not healthy now, number one, it kind of tells you why he hasn't been on a roster, why Jacksonville very quickly moved off of him. I mean, remember early in the offseason, this is when Liam Cohen was first brought in as head coach.
Right.
He went through like nine receivers on the Jaguars, never once mentioned Gabe Davis. So most people kind of saw it as, okay, he's out. But he named like everybody else, and then they moved off him. It never worked for him in Jacksonville. He also, I think, picked up an injury there as well.
He did get hurt that ended his season. It's the only time he played less than 15 games.
Yep. But so that's the thing. In almost a way, a lot like Josh Allen. He'll play through injuries, but where Josh Allen can kind of hide it and still play well, Davis not so much. Davis plays through him, but you'd argue it's hurting the team more than helping.
It's definitely a detriment to him and his skill set at that point, too. You do commend a player, though, for trying to do that.
Of course.
Like that is the one thing about it. But also the Bills, if he's playing through an injury, for example, though, you got to recognize how much of a hindrance does it become.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to in that 2023 season have several donuts, zero catches, 0 yards throughout that season. It tells you that, no, he doesn't really have as much chemistry with Josh Allen as you'd think. It almost becomes a little bit of a fallacy of sorts.
And I think because he was a boom or bust guy. You have, you know, the Pittsburgh game from a few years ago. He has the 98-yard touchdown, and that's really cool. Of course, 13 seconds where he's 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. He has had those moments. He has also been a good playoff performer for them. I don't want to discredit that. He has been. Him on the sidelines was incredible.
Right.
You look at his first playoff game with the Bills and their first one at home in years against the Colts. Going into halftime, he has like 2 or 3 sideline catches where you're like, what is happening here? But there were also moments where just he completely disappeared from the offense. They never found a way for him consistently to be a guy that was getting 6, 7, 8 targets in a game, just justifying being able to throw the ball to him. And I think especially now in an offense that has really moved away from the one guy, you need to be able to get open on a consistent basis. So Allen's going to get you the ball quickly. That's why they changed up who's on this team this year for the offense. It's why they've gone to Josh Palmer, who gets open at a very good pop. Khalil Shakir already here. But it's why they've also added Elijah Moore. Is these guys get open quickly to get the ball to them quickly. That's never been Davis's game.
And Davis, it was the second half of that 2023 season. He is effectively a ghost. He only catches 2 touchdowns from week 9 on. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games from week 9 to the end of the season where he has 0 catches for 0 yards. Mm-hmm. There's one game in there where there's 2 games in there that he peppers in, you know, big play Gabe. The 2 games that he has a touchdown in that stretch. Philadelphia, 105 yards. And the Chargers, 130 yards. When you say boom or bust, you are not kidding. There are booms, but then those games are also surrounded by 0 catches, 0 yards.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Dave is up next. Dave, how are we doing?
All right, how's it going?
Doing well.
I think I kind of know the answer from your conversation. I was going to ask, who would you rather have on the team? And let's assume Gabe's healthy. Gabe or Terrell Shavers?
Yeah, it's Shavers for me. It is.
Shavers?
Okay. Yeah. And it's a fair question to ask because of the fact that – thank you for the call, Dave. It's a fair question to ask because of the fact that it is insurance, though, on the outside. You want players that are able to play on the perimeter. And Davis did do something for you. He's only 25. Sorry, now 26.
Mm-hmm. Still young, though. Still young.
Still only 26. You'd think, the way we're talking about him, he's ancient. No. But in the NFL, careers do die relatively fast. And if this health concern is really still there, I mean, look out. But it's a consistency thing with him. And the other thing about that is, do note, remember how I said from week 9 onward, he has 5 games with 0 catches, 0 yards? Week 11 through 17 is Joe Brady.
So in a way, you could almost say they figured out a way to move on. And to be fair, we all kind of knew that season 2, he's not coming back. And so in a way, he's almost phased out. We talked a lot about that season with Stephon Diggs being phased out. In reality, it was kind of everybody. They were changing their offense.
But Gabe Davis does not particularly play well in Joe Brady's offense. That's the other portion to this.
Mm-hmm.
He has 2 pop games because that's how you get a moniker of Big Game Gabe. But it is all or nothing with him. That Philadelphia game where they lose in overtime, Davis gets the ball thrown at him 12 times. He does only come away with 6 of them.
And I think I'm remembering this game correctly, too. There is a play, and this is where, for me, yeah, it's this game. This is where, for me, I was like, I'm done. They need to move on. Allen throws a pick because him and Davis are not on the same page of which way Davis is going to cut.
Yep.
And that's it's a single play, and it's really a single season where I do kind of push back on the chemistry stuff. But it was that for me where Now, we've been at this long enough that he should know which way Allen's going to want him to cut. I'm out. I'm done. And again, like this would really just be for, at most, wide receiver five. Likely a practice squad spot.
And if he's wide receiver five, we've got bigger questions that need to be asked.
And on that, if it is for wide receiver five, you will probably see me get upset. Shavers has done nothing this offseason that would warrant them going, I don't trust him. He's been the only consistent positive every day.
I would say it might not be about Shavers. It might be about Moore and Samuel.
So are you saying then that Shavers is like wide receiver four? And that he's like really got a spot on this? Because that's the thing I've been waiting to see if he's earned.
If Gabe's wide receiver six, for example, though, they move on from a Moore or a Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. It's more of a bigger indictment on one of those two than it be necessarily about moving Shavers up to even potentially wide receiver four. We have six guys, and one of you ain't making it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because Tyrell Shavers alone is doing this. It's because we don't like what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, we all know how much of an Elijah Moore stan I've been. I've yet to see a single thing since training camp has started that has made me go, there it is. That's the guy I saw in Cleveland last year. That's the guy I saw at Ole Miss. I've yet to see it.
The worst part is that there was one play like that, but it doesn't get registered to anything.
Right, so like, how much can I take? I know the coaches will love it, but how much am I going to take away from
right.
it? Especially when it's now a single play.
I will say, it is hilarious to me, though, that the preseason ultimately does screw with people so badly around here. Us included, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You look at players and you go, hey, this guy might be good. And then like in preseason, they don't show up or anything. And it's like, okay, I guess we sat through that for no reason at all. And that's just what happens. It happens everywhere, but also it just, I think particularly here, because the biggest part of an evaluation, for example, with a receiver on a roster would be their chemistry with Josh Allen. The man does not take a snap in the preseason.
No, no.
This will go two straight years where he does not do it. And it turns every Bills preseason game into a circle of hell that nobody can fathom.
Yeah, they all look kind of bad.
For their entertainment.
Yeah, they all look kind of bad. I mean, it wasn't brought up, I don't think, during either the pregame on Sunday or even the postgame, but the Bills had played the Bears last year in the preseason.
And it was ugly then, too.
Also a bad game, 33-6 or 33-9. It was one of those
33-6.
Games. 33-6. Yeah, it was terrible. And that was against what ultimately turned into a bad Bears team. The Bills have told you they don't really care about the preseason. They don't take it all that seriously.
They do, but they don't worry about the on-field product outpacing another team.
Well, for me, I think they care more about practice by quite a margin.
Yes.
Like even, and I heard yesterday at One Bills Live, Chris Brown was talking about this, and one caller said that, you know, by all accounts, the Bills, you know, whooped the Bears in the practice, and Chris pushed back and he goes, I wouldn't say that. It was a competitive practice,
but they got more out of that than the preseason.
But they
game.
Got more out of it, and they threw in the backups, and the backups didn't play well. Like that's really it. The backups didn't play particularly well.
It's when the backups played the backups, and they still weren't playing well.
Still weren't playing well.
Yeah, it's just not your night, guys.
I will say though, on the Josh Allen not playing, it is funny that in the last 2 years, I think the team did want him to have at least some reps. But last year, you have the terrible weather in Pittsburgh that they're like, we're not throwing him out there. Are you kidding me?
We're not putting him on that field in these conditions.
And then this year with Chicago, it was, well, what if they had a bad practice on Friday? He probably does play a little bit.
He probably does play a little bit.
On Sunday, because that was the whole basis of not knowing if Stars were playing on Friday, is the team wanted to get through the practice first. That's my only thing in up to this point, because we're talking about receivers here. I would have liked to have seen how Tyrell Shavers and Allen look, because they're, again, Shavers, it's been like every day since camp started.
Him and Coleman.
His stock has gone up. It's looked good. Even as bad of a game as it was against Chicago,
He still shined.
Even in a play he doesn't actually register a catch, he burns his man and he goes deep, and Mike White just misses him. Like, he has consistently shined.
Which, we've seen Josh Allen miss deep balls too.
Right, so I'm not going to say that Josh is going to nail him.
Not that I'm defending what I watched on Sunday, but you know, that happens too, though. Like, it's a low percentage play that does happen to even the best of the best. But for Shavers, that is a good rep. Like, that's an important rep. That's something that you want to have on tape. But yeah, this preseason is kind of, I don't know about testing the mettle of Bills fans, but I don't know what to put it under. It is, though.
It's the preseason being a good team. It's an awful experience every time.
I will tell you right now, though, here's how to help get people to relax. Cincy's defensive starters looked probably as bad as your backups did against the Bears.
And you did also see Cincy, their starting quarterback, their star boy, Joe Burrow, get ragdolled. And that
rocked
just,
around.
That, for me, more than anything. We'll get back to your calls here in just a moment. But that, for me, more than anything. I only watched the first half of that game. And that's all I need to see. Why was Burrow back in after the horrific sack he takes where he's running around? He goes back almost to like the 1 yard line before going down.
You hear Troy Aikman say, "It's August, Joe, go down."
I'm just like, no, I'm good. This can all go away. I want to keep it for the fans, for the families to have cheaper tickets, but I'm good. This can go away. This is so ridiculous.
Which is hilarious because you see what that game was like, Joe Burrow running around, getting knocked around, Jaden Daniels. As Rich Eisen
runs into for a touchdown.
As Rich Eisen put it last night on SportsCenter, hearts and throats. What are you doing? It's preseason. But he then on the sidelines goes, "I wanted to score."
Yeah, wanted to score.
Tell me Josh Allen doesn't have the exact same mindset. There's a reason at this point he doesn't play the preseason games. It's to protect that man from himself.
803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Matt is with us next. Matt, how we doing?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got kind of an out of the box sort of scenario for you.
Sure.
All right. So you probably remember there was this high school coach down south, like Georgia, Alabama, or whatever. Like, he would never punt. Period. Like, not fourth and one, not fourth and 20. Their team just never punted, and they ripped off many state championships. And what had happened was basically the other D coordinators and the other team, if you consistently do that and the other team knows you're never going to punt, it's going to change how they defend. It's also going to change your offense's mindset. Now, that's not what I'm suggesting, but I brought this up to a buddy of mine a couple of years ago, and him and I hardly agree on anything, but he actually agreed with me. And Jeremy earlier was talking about, we may carry six wide receivers. Why not have one wide receiver every single down just run a 40-yard dash down the field every down? And if the opposing teams know that, they have to account for that. And that might take, you know, a QB – or, I'm sorry, a quarterback and a safety, like, right out of the equation right there.
So, Matt, I appreciate that. The thing is that those are sort of spacing concepts that do exist. It's not always just fastest guy down the field and go, but spacing concepts do exist. It's actually kind of why I hated Ken Dorsey's offense so much, because spacing was not a concept.
Guys were regularly clogged up.
Guys were in their same area, and that's part of why the 2023 offense dipped in production the way that it did, is because wide receivers were in the same place and Josh Allen would get picked off because he's throwing it for Davis and the guy who's covering Diggs is in the area because there was no spacing. Spacing concepts, what you're talking about, it's a real thing.
I think I saw too, it was a Bears reporter.
In 2019, the Bills did that with a fullback.
They did do it with a fullback.
Josh Allen threw it to him.
But on the spacing stuff, I think it was a Bears reporter on Friday mentioned that Keon Coleman is going to cause a lot of people to get open. He's dragging, you know, linebackers and the safeties to him when he's not the short route kind of guy.
That's called good offensive scheming.
So that works. On the fourth down stuff, I think it's Kevin Keeley you're talking about. He was a head coach in Arkansas. Yep. He's jumped around. I knew of him. I had to look him up because I know of him. Right. Just not his name off the top of my head. On that, it's not that we're getting close to that of just never punting, but you have already seen the NFL change that. It's fourth and one past the 50, and depending on your team, most people assume you're going for it.
Not to mention, the Bills are one of the more aggressive sorts in that endeavor.
We already have kind of gotten to that point of it's not never punting, but it has very quickly become, if it's fourth and two in on your opponent's 40-yard line, there's a really good chance you're going for it.
And it's a philosophy difference of, say, a Pittsburgh versus a Buffalo. The Bills, 4th and 1 on like the 42-yard line of enemy territory, they're going for it. Pittsburgh, it could be 4th and 1 on the 39 and Mike Tomlin wouldn't pass up the opportunity to punt that football.
And it also kind of shows which teams are succeeding and which teams are kind of treading water at this point. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on the Bills potentially bringing back Gabe Davis. He is expected to have a workout with the Bills tomorrow following wrapping up his workout with Pittsburgh today. Also threw it up on Twitter as a bit of a question because it was the hot button topic. Do you think the Bills have done enough on defense going into the final preseason game of the year? We'll also get your thoughts on Twitter. But coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get a word in as the Bills return to practice with Sal Capaccio. That's all coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Continuing our number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Tuesday. The Bills head off yesterday. They get back to work this morning.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Morning. Bills head coach Sean McDermott expected to meet with the media around noon. And with that, we go now to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins us this morning. Sal, how are we doing?
Pretty good. Good morning to you. Yeah, lots of news and things coming down here, I guess, this morning with the Bills.
Right? Huh? We do have a little bit of it. The Bills have made a number of roster moves because we'll get to Gabe Davis, of course. But the Bills have actually announced some stuff as well, including waiving a few guys, including this year's 7th-round pick, Caden Prather. And they've also signed guys, including a wide receiver, Grant DuBose.
Yeah, so let me start with Caden Prather because he obviously was a 7th-round pick and, you know, wide receiver position and the Bills, you know, didn't really address earlier in the draft, obviously, but they did make a couple free agent signings. They grab him a little bit later, late in the draft. So here's how it works with both Caden Prather and cornerback Tecori Couch, who I really like and, you know, put together another nice camp in preseason. Didn't think he was going to make the team, but a nice player to have in reserve. So here's how it works with both of them. Because they are both less than 4 years in the league, they have to go through waivers first before you can put them on IR. So in this situation, so both guys will go on waivers. Any team can claim Caden Prather. Any team can claim Tecori Couch. They know that if they claim them, they're hurt right now, right? So what you, most teams aren't going to do that because, you know, what use would they be of that team right now to claim and put them on their roster? So then once they clear waivers, if and when they do, they'll revert back to the Bills tomorrow, like noon. And then the Bills can put Caden Prather on injured reserve for the season. He can't play with them, but they can at least stash him away for a year. You know what I mean? So that's the process how it works. So Caden Prather could still be on the Bills this year on injured reserve and just not play and get a redshirt year kind of to recuperate. Same thing with Tecori Couch. Or they could give him an injury settlement sometime down the road. That's what they did with Bale Inspector. So Bale Inspector, you know, he went through the process. The Bills didn't keep him. They gave him an injury settlement. They signed Jarvion Howard. And they signed Grant DuBose. My guess is because they also, by the way, placed Darrington Evans on injured reserve. The difference there is Darrington Evans has been in the league longer than 4 years. They can go right to IR with him. So Darrington Evans is on injured reserve. So we'll see how that looks. There could be an injury settlement down the road for him, or he can just stay on IR. You need people to get through this week, guys. That's what a lot of this is about. You need a running back. You need a wide receiver. They need guys to take reps this week. They need guys to play in the game against Tampa this week. So a lot of that is what these moves are about.
Yeah, considering, Sal, especially because of the fact that the starters most likely are not going to play one more time around here. Mm-hmm. And that would even mean not having Ray Davis or Ty Johnson suiting up again. So Frank Gore Jr. can't be the only healthy running back for that game. So that is an understanding of itself there. But, Sal, on that, like, we watched a game last night where the Bengals and Commanders, they have starters in. Quarterbacks are taking hits. Hearts are jumping into people's throats. And then you also see then there's the Bills, a team that has now kind of pivoted toward Sean McVay and the Rams thinking of how frequently are you playing the starters? Not frequently at all. Maybe they get one game as of late over these past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different, right, in how you look at it. And the Bengals have not started the season very well. I think they've gone 0-2 and even 0-3 maybe in an instance here over the last few years. So I think they've kind of pivoted and said, let's give our guys a little bit more time in the preseason together on task. That includes Joe Burrow, but you see the risk. Joe Burrow gets kind of pounded a little bit last night, and that's just been a theme of Joe Burrow's tenure in Cincinnati right now, which is, you know, taking too many hits, and the offensive line hasn't been completely fixed. So there's always that balance there, right, of what is best for your team. There's been times in the past where the Bills have played their starters and Josh Allen. In fact, I think he's played every preseason here, at least somewhat. Maybe last year, even in the first game, I think he played a series or a few plays at least. He was going to play in that second preseason game last year against Pittsburgh, but the field was wet. They didn't put him on the field. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year. Josh said last week, I don't need preseason work, but if Sean McDermott feels that's what is best for the team, then I'll do it. So I think every team is different, right? And you just don't know what every team needs in that particular situation. And I think every team year to year is different based on the coach and what he thinks the roster needs for a young group, an older group, a veteran group, guys that are injured. So right now, I think based on what we saw Sunday, A, that the starters all did not play. It's been two games. And B, that the backups did not play well. I think you're probably looking at them playing again because you need to get them more time and you need to properly evaluate.
I had completely forgotten that Allen had played last year in that Chicago game. I, for the life of me, Sal, I thought this was going to be 2 years in a row that he hadn't played in the preseason. But yeah, he went 2 for 3 for 22 yards against Chicago. That was the last time he played in last year's preseason. Speaking of, though, Chicago, and you mentioned that the starters didn't play for the most part on Sunday. One, though, did, Cole Bishop. Sal, we talked about him in the pregame, kind of wanted to see a little bit from him. He's sort of an unknown to a lot of us. It wasn't a great game. I will say, though, having slept on it a little bit, he may have said this outright in the postgame, but Sal, I thought that may have been for more him, just to get his legs underneath him, get him some, you know, essentially live bullet reps kind of deal, rather than actually wanting to see anything substantive from him.
I wonder how they play it this week. My guess is right now on a depth chart, he's still, you know, listed as a, in fact, the Bills actually did have their game notes out, and I think that he is still listed as a starter. But, you know, guys, I mean, this is to a point now where you're going to have to start really figuring out what Cole Bishop can do for you, how much time he needs on task. Is he ready for that? And what is behind him? What else you have? And I thought it was really interesting that Sean McDermott said in the postgame presser, we have to see what we have there, see what we need. What does that mean? Does that mean going outside the organization? Does that mean what they have in their roster? Complicating matters is the fact that Jordan Hancock has looked good, but he got hurt. Mm-hmm. He got hurt in the game. Now, maybe he's going to be fine. We'll see. He indicated after the game to us that, you know, he thought that he'd be okay, but he still has to get imaging done on his shoulder. So when we go out to practice today at 12:30, when we hear from Sean McDermott at noon, hopefully we'll get an update on Jordan Hancock. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not practicing today, but hopefully he's nothing long term. But even one practice missing, that's time there where maybe you could get more of a look at him. Every day matters here right now. Every day matters to all these guys, including Cole Bishop, including Jordan Hancock, including Taylor Rapp, including DeMar Hamlin, everybody. Cam Lewis, who's been out, right? We know, they know what Cam Lewis can do, but because of the numbers right now, because of the injuries, because of what you've seen or haven't seen at safety, you have to start figuring out what it looks like week one. I guess the optimistic news would be you do have 3 weeks, a little bit less than that. That's time to get practice, to get more time on task, to simulate things, and hopefully you get to a better spot of what you've seen so far from Cole Bishop on the field. But yeah, I think any Bills fan who watched Sunday, who knows the history here of him having the injury last year and this year, is probably feeling uneasy, and I don't blame him for that. But it doesn't mean it has to be that way for, you know, the foreseeable future or long term.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the West Hare Hotline. Sal, Gabe Davis reportedly going to get a visit mm-hmm. with the Bills after he visits with the Steelers today. Does this have some sort of indictment on the bottom of the depth chart, or is this a potential Shaver's insurance or practice squad stash written all over it?
Well, I don't think it's for practice squad. I mean, mm-hmm. I doubt Gabe Davis is coming here to sign for a practice squad spot, you know, or anywhere, to be honest with you. Like, that's not, I mean, unless he gets somewhere in the season and he just can't find a job, but that wouldn't happen now. You can't even put anybody in the practice squad right now. That would right. be something that you'd have to do a week from today at 4 o'clock when 53-man roster. I think people have to be very careful about thinking there's this calculated Shavers or this spot, number this receiver. If the Bills, if and when it appears the Bills are bringing in Gabe Davis for a visit, to me, First thing is, let's see if he's healthy. That's what a visit's about. Gabe Davis was released with an injury settlement, right? Or released with an injury designation, I should say. Not settlement, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That means he was released with an injury. He got hurt last year, and then it just must have lingered into this year. So he has not been healthy. I'm suspecting, guys, part of the reason he hasn't signed anywhere is because he, A, wants to make sure he gets healthy, doing his own rehab, doesn't have to be at a team facility. He can do it on his own, do everything he can. Think about it this way. Let's put yourself in Gabe Davis's spot. If you are rehabbing from an injury, you could sign with a team and have 90 guys who are in the practice facility every day and with the training staff getting treatment, or you get it done on your own, you get as healthy as you can, and then you go and sign with a team. That's probably where it's coming from Gabe Davis and how he's trying to approach it. From the Bills aspect of it, I don't think it has to be Shaver's insurance or number this or for Curtis Samuel. I think it's, hey, this is a guy who knows our system. This is a guy that we've trusted. He's won the Iron Bill Award 2 years in a row. We know he's a hard worker. He checks all those boxes. Let's see if he's healthy. And because he's out there, do we want to bring him in to compete for a roster spot and then see where things fall? I think that's more what it's about. I don't think that Gabe Davis, if he comes to Buffalo, unless he wows him and says, oh my God, my knee's incredibly healthy and they work him out, then maybe you look to sign him. That might be, to me, this reads like something where he comes in, you check on him and say, maybe we revisit it in a week after we get down to our 53 and see where we're at. Then we see what everything else is around the league. Guys, a week from now, lots of guys are going to be available in the league, right? You're going to have all these guys. This is a reconnaissance kind of thing, right? Where you look at it and you say, where are we with this? And maybe the Steelers like Gabe enough where they do that. And then you look at the money. You guys were talking about vet minimum. I would agree for this reason. Gabe Davis is already making $11 million from the Jags this year. He's been paid. He got paid in March, and then they released him in May. Like, he doesn't need to sign for the cash. To me, this is, you can basically just sign him to a vet minimum. He's already making that plus $11 million this year.
And real quick, because I also have something on the Steelers with that too. He still falls under $1.1 million, right? Because it's like 4 to 6 years. It's $1.1 million is the vet minimum, I think.
I would have to look at that. That sounds right off the top of my head, yes. Because I think that if you're first several years, I think the minimum, like for guys, is now like right around a million now. So 1.1, 1.2. It might be 1.5 actually, because the way it works. But I think you can also do a what they call a veteran salary cap relief type thing sometimes, where you get a little bit of break on these guys. So you are talking, I would say, Zach, between 1.1 and 1.5 probably, somewhere in there.
And then the report out of Pittsburgh actually is that they did have medical concerns the first visit with Davis. And so that would kind of point to they maybe want to do another checkup on him. Or I think also to Sal with the Steelers, I think if he does come up clean there, I really could see the Steelers signing him. They need help at number two receiver once they lost Pickens. You know, for the Bills, I think the Bills, it would be, let's see what he's got. I think for the Steelers, there might be a genuine roster need there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, and they Gabe Davis could fit right in, and he's, he would be a willing blocker, and that's something that they would love in Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about that. So every situation's different, right? I mean, if you're Gabe Davis, you have to evaluate all of it here. If you're Gabe Davis, do you look at the Bills roster, though, and say, I don't think I can play? Like, I don't think you do that. I'm not saying he can or can't. I mean, I'm just saying put yourself in his position. I mean, he was the number two to Stephon Diggs here for 3-4 years, right? So if you're him, you might – and that included, by the way, having Cole Beasley on the team. I just think that, sometimes we read so much into these things where let's take a step back and say, what is the visit about? What could result from it? To me, the visit about – you come in, you check on him. Is he healthy? If he is, or he's close to being healthy, you feel confident with that. All right, now let's see what else is there. Let's see what's going to be out there. Now, if he comes in, you're like, we really, really, really need someone, and he's really healthy, then sure, you make a move. If you're Pittsburgh or you're Buffalo, something like that. But I think a lot of this just kind of has to do with everything kind of putting a puzzle together over the next 7 days.
All right, Sal, we already heard McDermott's going to be speaking at noon, practice at 12:30 today. And then what else is on the docket for this week as they're playing on Saturday, also on the road against Tampa?
Yeah, just reading something. There was Todd Bowles said Jalen McMillan has a strained neck. He's going to miss some time. Just looking at some of the news coming across today. Trey Hendrickson, It's close on salary and years, but not guaranteed money, as reported. So a lot of this stuff coming over today as teams get back to work after the weekend. All right, so speaking of that, Bills on the practice field today at 12:30, Sean McDermott at noon. Tomorrow we'll hear from both coordinators before practice, right around the same time. I think 11:30 is the time there, and then McDermott again on Thursday. He'll meet with the media, shorter practice, travel Friday, Tampa Saturday, game Saturday night. There you go.
There we go. All right, Sal, enjoy practice day. We'll talk again soon.
All right, you got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio there, Sal, on the West Her Hotline. I did come to that conclusion in the middle of that segment with Sal, where I'm like, if Davis looks healthy, Pittsburgh's going to sign him. They may not even
have a meeting with Buffalo tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll have probably more money offered to him. Now, as Sal brought up, he's making around $11 million from the Jags alone
this year. So he doesn't need it this season.
But I also, you know, we're sitting here in Buffalo going, man, is he really just kind of a reserve guy, you know, break glass in case of emergency, where the Steelers are kind of already in that emergency. They don't have a wide receiver, too.
They don't.
And they have a 41-year-old quarterback that already has a shaky offensive line and will need someone else to throw the ball to. I think that absolutely, if he's healthy, I think Pittsburgh gets that done. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on Gabe Davis, well, maybe potentially visiting the Bills tomorrow. He's expected to. No difference there at this point. And also, if you want to give your thoughts on the defense and if the Bills have done enough as we get ready for the final preseason game. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Happy 5 years to Nick Castellanos becoming a meme lord.
I mean, he's got a whole Wikipedia page on he hits home runs when, like, either horrific events happen,
or there's somber
something.
Like, something that should be not normal, and he's ripping a dinger. So, yes, happy 5th year to the original of Nick Castellanos becoming a meme in baseball.
I haven't heard that actual, like, the full clip in probably 4 years. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I texted Josh. I'm like, it's the 5th year, Annie, of Castellanos, and that makes it a 4-0 ball game. So Castellanos, since then, like you said, there have been several times. One was eulogizing a World War II veteran who died at the age of 97, and while they were doing that eulogy, he rips it. Castellanos does. Rips one. Absolutely. There's even some that you could play fast and loose with the rules on Castellanos and weird things happening. Castellanos' first hit in a Phillies uniform in spring training while they're talking about a Blue Jays pitching coach apologizing for a DUI arrest.
Oh, boy. It's like every time he comes up to bat, you're like, what's going on in the world? What's happening in the sport? Anything. What's going on? Because he's going to do something. It had that feeling. Oh, man.
There was one where they're sending well wishes to former Phillies manager Charlie Manuel. Mm-hmm. He had suffered a stroke. Castellanos hits his second home run of the night while they're talking about it.
Oh, boy.
Like, well, and at least with that one, Manuel made a recovery on that. So, like, that was good. Willie Mays passes away. They weren't talking about Mays, but he hits it that day.
He hits it that day.
An hour later, like... He has become this strange connection to things happening.
That is 5 years.
And now it is a meme. If something weird happens in the world and the Phillies are playing, how many times do you see in the comments, hitting a home run. So yeah, so 5 years to the to the day that it first began, Nick Castellanos becoming a meme.
5 years, time's a flat circle. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking Gabe Davis, having a visit with the Bills tomorrow following his visit with the Steelers today. It is his second visit with the Steelers. They did appear to have some medical concerns the first time. And then the Bills also getting back to practice today. About 12:30, 12 o'clock, Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media. For more on all of that, you can, of course, follow our own Sal Capaccio at Sal Sports over on Twitter. We'll keep you posted throughout the day. And also want to remind you that Sports Talk on WGR is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.